Turn in your Bibles to, I believe it's Matthew, chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. And we started a teaching last week on momentum. And we're going to pick it up with that teaching this week, but we're going to do some review to get into it. Matthew chapter 11 says in verse 12, "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." Now here, if nothing else, this verse gives us evidence that the kingdom of heaven includes more than just the third heaven where the throne of God is. Because there is no violence around the throne of God. Amen. But God considers, he's a selfish God. He considers his creation part of his heaven. And he said there's a part of it that's undergoing violence. But I have a people that have learned to apply their own force that can quell the violence and take over the remainder of my kingdom. You know, we study the history of Israel, and we will find out that God told Israel to take the promised land. Amen. And if you study it out, Pastor Callan was teaching on this not very long ago, that you study it out, when they started to take the promised land under Joshua, they primarily took only the high ground. They took the mountainous land because they didn't have chariots. They were never able to conquer the Philistines and take the low ground until really the time of David. And so God's kingdom is more than just high ground. He wants us to develop and learn to take the low ground as well. He wants to possess the third heaven. He wants to possess the second heaven. He wants to possess the first heaven. And he says, it's all part of my kingdom, and I need a people that can take it. I need a people that can do what's necessary to develop themselves, that will develop an inner fortitude, amen, that will learn to use my word and take the kingdom of heaven by the force of faith. We found out that Jesus said, if you have faith, you can command a mountain to be uprooted and thrown in the sea, right? And we understand what we were doing last week, what we started doing is we started comparing the laws of the natural realm regarding physics to laws of the spirit, and finding out in some areas they parallel. And we were looking at Newton's laws of motion. In fact, put up that first chart on force. Let's review this. We've been comparing Newton's laws of motion to laws regarding faith. Now, Newton's first law of motion did not say, and in John the Baptist and such, Newton's first law of motion says, if you want to move an object, you must apply force to it. That's easy enough, isn't it not? If you want to move something, you need to apply force to it. And his first law of motion says, force is equal to mass times acceleration. In other words, based on how big the force you apply is, that will determine how big of a mass you can move, how big of a weight, we'll use the word weight for this, and how fast it will accelerate. You follow me? So we took out our masses yesterday, and we found out if I take a light mass, and I apply slight force to it, it accelerates, right? A smaller mass with the same force will accelerate faster than a bigger mass. I took out our bigger mass. Remember the beast? I won't drop it. And I kick it with the same force, it doesn't accelerate as fast. And that's basically what Newton's law said. If you want to accelerate a large mass, it's going to take a larger force. So if you want to move a mountain, it's going to take more faith than it is to move an anthill. You follow me? You need to manifest $1 million, it's going to take more faith than it does to manifest $10. Or else you're going to manifest it a whole lot slower. See, $10 faith will manifest $1 million. It will just take, 100,000 times as long as if you had $1 million faith. And you could run out of time. They may foreclose before you manifest $1 million. In the same fashion, we've got to learn to develop our faith. Because you may develop nosebleed faith. You can stop a nosebleed by faith. But if, you know, diabetes or heart disease or cancer or something hits your body, you're going to have trouble having enough time to heal those larger mountains with nosebleed faith. So we've got to be those that develop our faith. The Bible says we go from faith to faith. God wants you to get in the Word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. He wants us to develop our faith and go to higher and higher levels of being able to manifest promises of the kingdom by faith. You will start with the headaches and the flu, right? You will start with, you know, the infected toenail and such and speak over it. Command healing in it before you're going to command, you know, the tumors to be dissolved out of your body. But you got to start somewhere. The last thing you want to do is ignore faith until something big comes and think, well, I got to learn faith now. You may not have time. Plus, here's another thing. It is a whole lot harder to work your faith when pain is racking your body. I'm telling you what, when you've got, you know, all these pain symptoms on your body and, you know, your head is pounding, you feel like you want to, you know, toss your cookies, or, you know, the situation is such that your mind is so oppressed by the pain, it's hard to get in the Word and read. It'd be better to get in the Word when you feel good, so you've built up your faith, so when the symptoms come, you're ready to confront them. Amen. So don't wait to learn to develop your faith. Get in the Word now. We put the promise cards back there on different promises of God, how you can get free of different limitations. We've got promise books. You can get in any area you want to develop your faith in, you can do it. But don't think coming to church once a week is going to do it. Well, I go to that faith church and I have great faith. Not if you haven't spent time working the Word. Because faith does not come from me preaching it to you. It comes from you preaching it to you. It comes from you meditating the Word, speaking the Word, working the Word. Amen. And as you develop experience at one level of working the Word, of developing your faith, it will then position you to go to the next level. You can't just start at zero faith, or let's just call it the measure of faith, mustard seed faith, and jump them and all of a sudden you're a 10-foot high tree. There's a process of growth must take place in your faith, and there must be experience developed on the way. You know, before David went against Goliath, he said, you know, God's servant, I have killed the lion, I've killed the bear. In other words, I've progressed on this path of learning God's ability to war through me. Who is this uncircumcised giant, the next step, that he should stand before the armies of the living God? David progressed in his faith. We've got to do the same thing as well. So we found out if we want to move a mountain based on how big the mountain is, we will have to develop our faith. So basically, if we wanted to put it into everyday terms, we would say faith equals how fast your mountain is being moved out of your way. But understand, it's faith that you're using. Faith that you're using. As I was meditating this morning, I felt led to speak this into this church or speak this to this church. To let you know whether you're in faith or not. To let you know whether you're using your faith or not. You were only, are you listening? You were only using your faith to the level you're intentionally speaking into your circumstances. If you're not speaking to your finances, you can say, I've got faith, but you're not using it. If you're not speaking to your physical body, you can say, I've got faith, but you're not using it. If you're not speaking the Word over your marriage or over your kids, you can say, well, I've got great faith in God, but you're not using it. And if you're not using it, it's a good chance that it's not there. Faith speaks. The spirit of faith speaks. You are using your faith to the level you are speaking faith. Amen. And the church became relatively silent. How many want to move mountains by faith? How many want to fulfill high calls? How many want to go from faith to faith? Then I would, you know, when I was going to go through college, they sat us down and they gave us a, what would you call, a curriculum plan that was going to take us from being a freshman knowing nothing to being a graduate, having all the requirements of that degree accomplished. So they gave us a schedule of here's the classes you will take every quarter, every semester, whatever. And you will progress from this level to this level. You know, we would start off in, you know, basic calculus and go to higher calculus. We'd start off in basic physics and go to, you know, higher level engineering classes. And we intentionally targeted our development to get to the end goal. I had a schedule there. Here's where I want to go. Here's where I'm at. Here's the courses I've got to take. And they let us take some electives in between. You know, we could take different stuff that, you know, wasn't required. But there was a set of requirements. If we're going to get to where we're going, we had to target those classes. Yet we come into faith and we think, well, there's no schedule. There's no need. No big deal. If something happens, I'll work on it. You got to target it. You got to target it. I mean, if necessary, write down what you're after. Write down what you want to do every day or every week. Write down the verses you want to work. Have your confession list and say, these are the things I want to develop in my life. Why should we take a college degree more seriously than the Kingdom of God's curriculum? Well, you're just trying to, you know, get us into legalism. No, I'm trying to get you into victory. We don't get there by accident. Well, I'll just be led of the Spirit. If you're led of the Spirit, He's going to have you confessing into something. He's going to have you working on something. So I know when I wanted to work healing into my life, I got the healing scriptures out. I had them down there and I spoke them every day. When I was working success into my life, I took the success scriptures, worked into my life every day. In fact, I added to it then the healing scriptures. When I was wanting to work righteousness understanding in my life, there they were every day speaking righteousness. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. When I wanted to work prosperity into my life, which I'm still working, I got the verses there on my table, coffee table at the house. Speak the prosperity verses. And then keep working the other as well. Because you can have something on one level and something else at a great level. But treat it like it's a curriculum you want to develop. The Bible says, let us fear lest any promise of God we don't claim, we can't enter into His rest. In a paraphrase fashion. In other words, any promise of God in the Word that we don't claim, the enemy will use as an area to bring unrest to us. You still didn't follow that. If you don't learn how to claim healing, He will bring unrest to your life and physical symptoms. You don't learn to claim financial increase, He will bring unrest to you through lack. You don't learn how to claim your kids or your wife or your husband or whatever, he will bring unrest in those areas. So develop a curriculum that is well-rounded to fully fill your shield of faith with every promise of God that the enemy cannot penetrate. And then take it from level to level to level. We're to be students of faith. The just, the righteous, shall live by faith. Well, that's just too much work. It's a whole lot less work than getting your tail, you know, kicked by the back, you know, by the enemy. I found out working the Word when you feel good is a whole lot better than, you know, having a heating pad on your head and, you know, the Pepto-Bismol. Amen. I found out that it's a whole lot better to be able to work the Word for God to bring you financial increase versus work three jobs. I'd be a nervous wreck over all that, and every time something breaks down, you about have a heart attack. I wasn't counting on that financial, you know, hit. Well, God knew it was coming. Just relax. Just relax. Trust God. He said He would take care of all of your need according to His riches and glory, right? So the point being is, We have got to be those that develop our faith to move bigger and bigger hills until we can move the mountains. It doesn't happen by accident. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing. Which means, if you want to develop your faith, there will be homework. There will be time at home you're going to work the Word. There will be personal application. I have yet to meet the college graduate who didn't have to do some homework. If you're here this morning, raise your hand. I want you to come up and tell us about how you did it. They gave us homework. Amen. And not only that, in a lot of classes, you better do it. Or you weren't getting out of that class. And you think we're going to get out of God's educational process? He says he's instructing us. The Holy Ghost is the teacher. We're going to get out of God's educational process without application, without, you know, determination. Can I take this further, since we're in this sidetrack? So many people want to take the kingdom of God that suffers violence, and the violent, the aggressive, take it by force. So many people want to take the kingdom of God as if it was just a, you know, Sunday drive or Sunday walk through the park. I'm telling you, there's muggers in the kingdom of God. The devil tried to mug you, I'm telling you. You better be alert. There's drive-by shootings in the kingdom of God, I'm telling you what. And be throwing stray bullets at you. You better have your shield up. There's danger in the kingdom of God. You better learn how to fight. A lot of people think the kingdom of God is just this way. You get saved and then you just kind of just float through life. Whatever feels good, do it, you know. When in fact, you get in the kingdom of God, you just became a warrior. You just became a warrior for God. And warriors train. You know, we had the 30 Navy SEALs that were killed here a couple weeks ago. Amen. Pray they knew the Lord Jesus. Are you following me? But the training they went through made them each worth many men as far as their skills and capabilities. Amen. I mean, 30 Navy SEALs, that's a hit. Because they went through such rigorous training that the natural man can't go through. Not only that, you just don't step up and say, I'd like to be a Navy SEAL. Let's go ahead and go straight to Hell Week. They're going to move you from level to level till you can do what they're required to do. You follow me? It doesn't start. You don't do it all in one day. It's a progression. And we're warriors for the kingdom of God. And we think it's just, well, we'll go to boot camp if we feel like it. Go AWOL anytime we have a desire. It's not like that. The kingdom of God requires determination. It requires discipline. It requires hunger and thirst for victory. Amen? Don't let the enemy rock you to sleep in the kingdom. His number one offensive against the warriors of the kingdom is to get them to get in the hammock and just rock it so they won't come out of it. Just subtly put them to sleep through the cares of this life, you know, cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, lust of other things, to get them weighed down with the burdens of life. God says, no, I need you focusing on faith. Now, we know love is the number one commandment, right? But you don't get to love without faith. Focus on building your faith. Develop your faith. Work the Word. Become a student of it. Quit thinking victory comes by accident. No victory in the kingdom comes by accident. It comes by word. Do you see this? Well, after we spent some time looking at building our faith last week, we went to the topic of momentum. So put up that next chart. And what we found out is another formula that deals with force or faith, in our case, force, is the one dealing with velocity. And the difference between velocity and acceleration is velocity represents how fast are you going at any point in time. You follow me? On your car, there is a speedometer. You read the speedometer, it says you're going 55 miles per hour at any point in time. Acceleration is how fast are you speeding up. You follow me? Your speedometer does not tell you how fast you're speeding up unless you just track it and watch it move. And velocity is equal to your acceleration, or how fast you're speeding up, times how long have you been speeding up. So we used the example last week. If you step on your gas pedal or your accelerator in your car, it speeds you up. What happens? The engine applies a force to the tires. You follow me? And that force accelerates the mass of the car. So you're pressing on the pedal, your car is now accelerating. And after 1 second, you may be going, 5 miles per hour. After 2 seconds, you may be going 10 miles per hour. 3 seconds, 15. What's happening? The longer you're pressing on the pedal, the faster your car is going to be going. Do you follow me? So the formula for that is velocity equals acceleration times time, or V equals AT. And without going through all the algebra this week, you can substitute for acceleration. You can say acceleration equals velocity over time. Plugging that into our first law of motion with force equals mass times acceleration, we get force times time equals velocity times mass. Just enjoying the moment. As I know you are. Now let's explain this for a minute. What that says is, if you put your foot on the accelerator and you push down, the longer you hold that pedal down, force times time, you're holding the pedal down, the faster that mass or that car is going to be going. That's all it says. That's pretty simple, right? So the longer I apply a force, the faster that mass is going to be going. Amen. And so force times time is our applied force over time. However, velocity times mass represents the mass we're accelerating and how fast it's going. But we found that that formula, VM, velocity times mass, has another term attached to it scientifically. It's called momentum. So we used the example last week. I'll use Ladrell this week. If I take this basketball, which weighs, I think it was 10 ounces, something like that, and I throw it to Ladrell, he had no concern about catching it because he already had mentally calculated the momentum on that ball, if he throws it at a normal speed, is not going to do a whole lot of damage to me. You follow me? But if I take the other mass, and I'll throw this one to Jessica. She's already saying not happening. I know what would happen. Ladrell would dive in front of the ball. And I was to throw this ball with the same force I won't. Guess what? It's liable to put him back in the chair. You follow me? It's going to take more effort for him to stop this ball because it's got more momentum. So the faster I can throw the object, or the bigger it is, or the two combined, the more momentum it will carry. When I was in my senior year of college, we took a senior trip. The mechanical engineering department took a trip to different factories and different places all around the Southeast, and touring factories. And they took us to, I believe it was Tullahoma, Tennessee, Aero Engineering, where they were doing experiments with high-speed projectiles. And they were taking steel balls 1 inch around. And they had built this pneumatic cannon. I forget how long this thing was. I mean, it was like a whole building long. And they would use compressed air and accelerate this ball down this cannon to the point it was blowing through two steel blocks a foot thick. 24 inches of steel, it was blowing right through it. In fact, it would go in this little bitty hole and it would blow the whole back side of the back block of steel out. And they said the little ball, that little ball, 1-inch steel ball, had the same momentum as two Cadillacs traveling 100 miles per hour. That's how fast it was moving. So momentum is developed by two things. Either the size of the object, you follow me, the mass, or the speed it is going. But notice here in our formula, and understand moment, what momentum is. Momentum to us represents the ability to plow through obstacles. You follow me? If something has momentum, it's hard to stop. Now, we talked about it last week, just to review very quickly. Sometimes when you get hit with symptoms, those symptoms will have a momentum with them. It will drive you backwards. You might even, you know, start to stop the start. In fact, let me have an example. Ladrell, stand up here. I'm going to throw it to you. Come up here. Come up here and do it. Come here. I'm going to throw it hard. I'll try to hold back these guns. I'm going to throw him the ball. You ready? Let me step back a little further. You ready? Here you go. Now, did you notice, first of all, he braced himself to catch it. But when he caught it, he didn't just stop the ball like this. His hands went down like that. A lot of times when symptoms are sent your way by the enemy and you go to try to stop them by faith, they have momentum. And the second day, even though you use your faith to say, I'm healed, you may be worse. Why? Because that symptom has a momentum that even though you started to slow it down, it's still driving you backwards. It's still having its way in your life to some level. And so many people make the mistake. They say, you know, the symptoms hit their body and they go to say, I'm healed. And, you know, 2 hours later, they feel worse. They go, well, I guess it didn't work. Well, it's not now. I mean, once you said it doesn't work, it's over. Those symptoms are going to eat your lunch. But you got to understand that when you get hit with momentums of sickness or whatever it might be, there's a momentum tied to it, and it's going to take you some time to slow down that momentum till you can reverse it and get back to being healed. Don't look at the symptoms. Look at the Word. Stay with the Word. Amen? Don't look at whether you're feeling better or not. You know, so many people, they're trying to claim their healing and they go take their temperature every 15 minutes. You're looking at the natural more than you're looking at the supernatural. You're looking at the results more. I mean, you're looking at the symptoms more than you're looking at, you know, what the Word declares. Symptoms carry a momentum. But what we got into last week, though, is we have a right to develop our own momentum. You follow me? You have a right to develop your own spiritual momentum. See, a person that's experiencing divine healing, they wake up one day and there's symptoms on their body. They're already going backwards. Now, you know faith, but you're going backwards because symptoms hit you. Right? And what happens is you start speaking the Word and you start to reverse those symptoms so that you come out of it and you come back to the point of being healed. But there's a place of living in divine health where you never get sick. Or if the symptoms hit you, they just basically bounce off. And what happens in divine health is you've learned how to develop your faith, work your faith, use your faith until you develop your own positive momentum so that you're going forwards at a point that symptoms cannot hold you back. They can't even slow you down. Can't even connect to you. And so what we got to talking about last week is how to develop positive spiritual momentum. How do we develop this positive momentum? Well, our formula tells us momentum, VM, is developed by FT, force times time. Or in our case, faith times time. Look at Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Have you got it? Verse 12 says that you be not slothful. In other words, you don't be lazy. You don't be lackadaisical. You don't be lethargic. You don't get rocked to sleep. In other words, you stay aggressive. You be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Through faith and patience inherit the promises. Now, we've been talking about faith being the force that we utilize. But patience represents staying in faith over a period of time. Faith and patience means you start off in faith, you finish in faith. And it means all in between, you were in faith. And so what it says is you actually inherit the promises of God by being in faith over a period of time. See, in most cases, faith doesn't work well. You just say, well, I believe I receive, and there it is in your hand. You believe you receive, you speak it out, and you keep declaring it as a done deal. You keep acting as if it's a finished work until enough time passes that faith has moved that mountain and it's manifested in your hand. Did you follow that? We don't usually see the manifestation immediately when we pray. It's through faith and patience. That's why the word says, don't be wearying in well-doing. You shall reap a harvest if you faint not. Faith and patience. Patience represents the time component of developing momentum. You follow me? Patience represents time. Application over time. And he says, through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. Put our chart back up. Here we see, through faith and patience, FT, faith over time, we develop momentum. Therefore, momentum helps us to inherit the promises. Spiritual momentum helps you plow through all opposition until you receive the end of the promise. It says in James, in fact, look at James chapter 1. Keep trying to rush forward, and I need to just slow down and bring this out in the fullness as we need to. Let's go to verse number 2. James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now let me throw this out. It doesn't say the trying of your faith develops patience. It works it. Amen. It puts your patience to work. It actually puts a demand on your patience level. Amen. And if you don't have enough patience, in your storage vaults, your faith won't last. Amen. He says, the trying of your faith worketh patience. There's faith and patience again. What do we say comes out of faith and patience? Momentum. What comes out of momentum? Inheriting the promises. Are you guys following this, or did I lose you clear back there at FT equals MA? MV. He says, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And in other words, maintain your patience application. Don't let your faith be up and then down and then up and down. Keep your faith applied. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, up and down, divided and doubting. For he that wavereth, he that is up and down, applying faith and not applying faith, applying faith, not applying faith, is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Do you see this? Now let's apply it. He says, you can't be up and down with your faith. You keep it applied. You can't be, you know, you're trying to push the car up the hill. Hopefully up a slight hill. You know, you're trying to push it just a little bit, got to move it up a little bit. And you decide to push it for, you know, 15 seconds, you decide to need to take a break, so you step aside. That car's coming back down on you. You follow me? He says, your faith can't be like it's up and then it's not there. It's up and then you're speaking against it. It's got to be continuous. You got to have a patience application. He says, if you do that, let's paraphrase it, you will develop a spiritual momentum that nothing can stop you. But if you do not have a continuous faith, patience, application, you will have no spiritual momentum. Don't think you can receive anything of the Lord. What I'm trying to get across to you is spiritual momentum is a key determinant whether or not you're going to access the promises of God. Spiritual momentum is a key factor in whether or not you're going to step into the blessings of God. Otherwise, you'll be going like you'll be floating around like whatever I feel like doing, I'll do, and you're up and down on the waves. Faith and patience requires discipline and diligence. Faith and patience requires a prayer time and a prayer life. Faith and patience requires a word time. Give us this day our daily bread. How are we going to move into all God has, you know, and have all the spiritual momentum it takes if we're not feeding ourselves with the bread of life? Give us this day our daily bread. How well do you guys do if you skip, you know, eating for a few days? How's your strength level? Never mind your strength level, how much you ready to take everybody's head off all around you, you know? Feed me! Tanks got low. I mean, just the natural food gets low and you're ready to climb the wall. How much more if your spiritual tank is not fed? See, discipline is mandatory to develop spiritual momentum. Spiritual momentum is mandatory to live a life of victory. We have got to become people that get out of the floating through life mindset. See, here's the danger. So many people. I grew up with a whole group like this. That said, whenever I get out of high school, I'm never going to study again. When I get out of high school, it's party time, babe. When I get out of high school, I won't have any teachers anymore telling me what I've got to learn, when I've got to read, when I got to take a test. I'm going to do what I want to do when I want to do it. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. And they're still working for Burger King 40 years later. If you work for Burger King, I'm not attacking you. Amen. But if you're my age and you're still flipping the hamburgers, you probably stayed with that high school mentality. You can't go into the kingdom of God and not recognize you're a career student. Not be successful. You can't go into the things of spiritual victory and not realize there's going to be application, homework, and discipline required in your life. There will be discipline required. There will be a requirement to tell that flesh to shut up. I'm working on something. Get out of the bed. Wake up, flesh. I like how Jerry Savelle said he used to have to do it. He said every time he'd read the word, he'd start to go to sleep. And finally, he says, I'll fix that. He went and got up on the edge of his bathtub, opened his Bible, started reading. And the flesh said, what are you doing? He said, I'm reading the word. And if you go to sleep on me, you're going to hurt yourself. Amen. It's snap that flesh to attention. He was making the flesh line up to the needs of the Spirit versus letting the Spirit bow to the whims of the flesh. It says in Galatians 5, the flesh wars against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. Which one are you going to make bow down to the other? Well, you're just putting me under, you know, too stringent of requirements. I didn't put any requirements on you. All I've said is look within and find out how much victory you want and determine how much you'll move into the things of the kingdom. And it doesn't take 24 hours a day. It takes 29 hours a day. I'm just kidding. You still get to live your life. It just requires you prioritize a few things to make room to develop spiritual momentum. Andy Griffith, and let's make a deal, will not produce any eternal results or victory in your life. Maybe if we turn those off and, you know, looked at the Word. Just saying, as everybody declares now, just saying what? I figure somebody tells me they're just saying I can fill in the blanks with the rest. Amen. So here we see we've got to be those that want to move into and develop this spiritual momentum. And then we did the example last week of what happens when you develop spiritual momentum. So I tell you what, Aaron, you can help me with this one today. Were you in this last week? Oh, who was here last week? Ladrell, come here and do this again. I need Mother Ball, though. I'll get it. Let's move the pulpit. Let's move it forward here. Hallelujah. I'm just going to preach from here the rest of the day. Just there's certain things I need to target in the rest of the message. Now, we're going to let the beast over here, the bowling ball, not Ladrell, represent you, and you spent time in the Word. You spent time praying. Every day you said, I'm going to at least juice the Word. I'll get at least one verse a day. I'll read me at least, you know, a half a chapter. I'm going to do something to stay in motion. And when I can, I'm going to read 10 chapters. I'm going to build spiritual momentum. I'm going to watch, you know, Holy Ghost shows on TV. I'm going to listen to spiritual music. I'm going to pray in the Holy Ghost. I'm going to work on building momentum. See, if you don't learn to build momentum, you will walk around with an empty spiritual fuel tank. And the least thing will set you off. Least thing will have you in some kind of a meltdown or some type of, you know, fit. But spiritual momentum lets you plow through opposition. Remember that? In fact, put up the momentum chart. Here we see faith development and application time determine your spiritual momentum. And that is your ability to not be stopped spiritually. For nothing to hinder you, to plow right through every devil that try to rise up in your way. So here the bowling ball represents us with spiritual momentum. Here are the symptoms. You follow me? Now, Ladrell, step back a little further so I got time to aim. All right, right there. Roll the ball this way, and here's the symptoms coming at your life. Go ahead. Did you see that? I sent the symptoms directly head on into that Christian with momentum. And you know what? There were no symptoms where there was a setback. There was not any time where the individual moved the wrong direction, had symptoms on their life. Instead, what happened is, as the symptoms hit the individual with momentum, they actually bounced the same direction and were sent going the other direction with almost zero noticeable slowdown. And then the bowling ball wanted to take out the chairs and everything else on the way. You become unstoppable when you have filled your spiritual fuel tanks by developing momentum, by a routine, by a discipline of Christian operation. Well, I think we need to just be led of the Spirit. I do too. I think everything we do should be led of the Spirit. Ask God how long you're supposed to pray a day. Well, I think the Holy Ghost will tell me if I'm supposed to be in the Word every day. Well, then we got a problem because Jesus already did. He said, give us this day our daily bread. He didn't say, give us bread when we feel like eating. He said, the word says, pray continuously. It didn't say, pray every other week when you feel like it. It says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as a man of some is, so much more as we see the day approaching. It didn't say, go to church when you feel like it. These things all work to build our spiritual momentum. Does anybody believe Paul had spiritual momentum? The Apostle Paul. He said, I pray in tongues more than you all. Well, he's just being legalistic. No. He was working on something. He was going somewhere. You follow me? Now, listen, you choose. Just like in your giving, you choose what measure you're going to be a giver. You choose what measure you're going to go after God. God will never say, no, I really think you're praying too much. I heard Pastor Philip Derber one time. We'd been going through a lot of time of fasting and everything. And he was going on a fast that was particularly, difficult. He's having trouble. And he says, God, why am I having such a hard time on this fast? He says, well, I didn't call you to it. You called you to it. He said, well, then, why didn't you tell me not to do it? He says, Philip, I'll never stop you from moving towards me. God will never tell you you're praying too much or in the Word too much. He may tell you that you're neglecting your family, but not that you're praying too much. Well, I think you just go to church too often. That's what the family tells you with the devil speaking in their ear. You go to church too often. That's like saying you have too much spiritual momentum. Press in with that thing. Amen? Now, let's move this back here first. We have got to be those that develop spiritual momentum. Amen? And the more application time, the more... In fact, up here again where it says faith times time equals, velocity times mass, or equals momentum. I want you to look at FT as just representing what I want to call faith time. Faith time. Faith development and application time. Time that you're working on your faith. You're building up your momentum. The more faith time you have, the more momentum you will have. No faith time, no momentum. Did you know if I roll this ball across the floor, if I take this bowling ball and I impart momentum to it, now I hit that, it will eventually stop. If I roll that bowling ball across the floor, I kind of hit it too hard that time, it will eventually stop. Why? The friction of the floor is slowing it down. Right? Just friction alone slowing it down. Your life without faith time will slow down. Your momentum will run out just by the friction of life. You have to keep applying a force. You have to keep it fed and fueled. You have to keep maintaining a faith mindset to maintain any spiritual momentum, or else it will run down. And the point we brought out last week, and really the main point I want to bring out again this week, is it says faith times time produces momentum. There is no such thing in the natural as magic momentum. You can't take a car and just set it out there and say, okay, car, get momentum. Come on, car, get momentum. Somebody got to push on the gas. You follow me? Over time to give that car momentum. There is no such thing, listen to me, there is no such thing as magic spiritual momentum. There is no such thing as magic spiritual momentum. The only source of spiritual momentum is in your life is through an application of faith times time. You follow me? Faith time. You want momentum? You just can't say, okay, God, give me momentum. I just receive 100-fold. No time. Unless you have, you know, million, bazillion dollar faith, that 30 seconds of prayer isn't going to do it. You know, that 30-second declaration. There is no magic momentum. There are no magic filled fuel tanks. It takes time. See, so many people want to just automatically have their tanks filled. Doesn't happen. You've got to apply yourself. Now, there is one area. There is one area where you can have momentum imparted to your life without yourself having spent time in faith. There is another way you can receive spiritual momentum without having time in faith. We do it in here all the time. It's called the laying on of hands. You can come in here and your tank be totally empty. I mean, be exhausted. And I'll say, anybody here needs a fresh charge from God, come up here, I'll pray for you. And God will take of the momentum I have and impart it to you as a gift to get you rolling. But you're not allowed to come up come here every day. Pastor, pray for me again. I need more momentum. There comes a time I'm going to say, build your own momentum. I mean, I'm doing it as a assigned role to get you going. But you have a responsibility to keep yourself going. So if I take this as, let's say, a Christian that's frictions of life have exhausted all their momentum. And they're standing still. You follow me? Here comes the minister of God. Let me switch balls. This is kind of weird. That's been out of shape because they haven't had time with God. I was more concerned it wouldn't roll straight. Here comes the man or woman of God that have been in God's face. They have been in the secret place. They've been in the Word. They've spent faith time. They've got their own momentum. And the person comes up in the prayer line and says, Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. I need strength. I need energy. Help. So the man or woman of God, with their own momentum, prays for the person. And now they both go forward with momentum. You follow me? They're both going to advance with momentum. Although there will be some draining of the momentum on the one that prayed. Now the neat thing about God is, He's a 100-fold God. And He'll anoint you to lay hands on people and do the 100-fold. You know, why am I going to pray for you if it drains everything I got? You follow me? Why am I going to pray for you if it takes everything I got? No, you understand, I'm obedient to God and I pray for someone. There'll be a momentum transfer, but God will recharge me at the same time. But I can tell you, you pray for 50 people, you pray for 100 people. Or like Oral Roberts used to do and pray miracle prayers for thousands, he would say at the end of that time, he would be totally spiritually spent. I mean, it exhausted all the momentum he had. He'd have to go right back into the Word. Right back into it. To recharge himself. Pastors or ministers have a term called Blue Monday. And Blue Monday is the crash so many men of God experience on Monday after having given everything they have out on Sunday. They get behind the pulpit and they just give everything they got. They pray for everybody. And the next day, it's like their tank is exhausted. And they're just subject to being down, discouraged, or whatever, you know, like disappointed. and have a responsibility just to dedicate money to charge himself back up. Amen. Well, listen, I don't have no Blue Mondays. Amen. Not going to have no Blue Mondays. I'm believing God for total refreshment and maintain a momentum that it's not going to take me down. Now, look at Matthew chapter 25 a second. Let's look at this. Are you still with me? Matthew chapter 25. Are you there? Verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, no momentum capacity. While the bridegroom, verse 4, but the wise took oil in their vessels. They had spent time in faith. Faith time. You follow me? They've been building themselves up. They've done what necessary to build up their anointing level. Oil is your anointing. It says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. In other words, pray for us. We need an impartation of spiritual momentum. You follow me? Give us of what we need to go on through. It says, and the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and for you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. They said to the wise, here's basically what it's saying. We've spent no time in the Word, no time in prayer. We've not been diligent in church. We've not prayed in tongues, but we want the same reward and the same access you have. Just give us of what you got, even though we've been the ones that were foolish and lazy. Because we thought you were just being wasteful of your life because you spent so much time in prayer. We thought you were just, you know, boring and caught up in legalism, that you would do those things that would develop that anointing. Now give us what you have. And those that had dedicated their life to faith time said, nope. We've been imparting to you all along. Now we need all we got. We're going in. Go get your own. Go develop your own. And there wasn't enough time. You don't want to be those that live on an empty tank and never spend time to develop your own momentum. It says, afterward, verse 11. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. What do you mean, I know you not? You never spent any time with me. You thought it was just bondage. You thought it wasn't any fun. I don't know you. I know the ones that have spent time with me, that have spent faith time, that have a momentum. Watch therefore, you know not neither the day or the hour when the Son of Man cometh. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And there's coming a time. There is coming a time we will need our momentum. You're going to need your momentum to go in. Amen? We're coming into some seasons that if I take this ball, let me get the bowling ball. If I take this ball and it's on the level, I can apply force, it'll still move. But if it's uphill, I have to maintain an applied force. I have to maintain the force if it's uphill. Not only that, to get it where I wanted to go, I've got to apply my more force because there's a weight working against me on the thing. Not just the mass, but the weight of the object pushing the other direction. And we're coming into a time that you will need forward momentum to go up the hills before you. If you've ever been to the bowling alley, they will return your ball. You've launched your ball. It's gone down to the other end. And they will return your ball by having it go down a ramp. And that going down the ramp will produce a momentum that will cause it to come all the way back to you and even start into the ball return up to the carrier again. We have got to have a momentum on our lives that when the opposition arises in the end times, I'm telling you, there's some hard times about to hit us, hit the world. But those momentum will plow right through it. There's going to be some uphill battles you're going to need momentum on. Build it now so when they happen, you're not sitting there struggling trying to push it up. You've already built it up so when it hits the ramp, it just shoots right up the thing. God's coming back for a church of warriors. I used to love to hear the preacher there at Main Street Baptist. Oh, what was his name? Elder Ward. And he'd always say, "Have we got any warriors?" Man, I'd get fired up hearing him on the radio. Praise God. I want to ask here today, do we have any warriors? Some people say, you know, I'm just in a mess. I've gotten a mess. I don't know how I've got into this mess. I thought I just loved God. I thought everything going right for me. How did I get here? You stop doing what produced momentum. And it'll start pushing you back the other direction. You got to maintain the application of force. Or you'll end up in a place you thought you could never be. If you're there, start applying the force again, it'll take you back out. We serve a faithful God, don't we? I made this statement last week. Patty was our bowler in the family. That you could take me and my two daughters, we'd go bowl. You could add all of our scores together and she still beat it. And she bought this ball called the Beast. And I used to wonder, why do you carry around with you a bowling ball called the Beast? It's like you're carrying the devil around in your bag, you know. Till I realized he's pretty much in captivity in that bag. And at any time she wants to, she can throw the Beast down a predetermined path into a place of great chaos and destruction. Amen? And her score increases. We get to do the same thing. We get to build momentum to let us virtually put the devil under our feet. No momentum, no victory. Praise the Lord. God's faithful, isn't He? Won't you stand to your feet with me? Praise you, Jesus. Let's worship God here for a minute and see how He wants to close out this service.